Hey yo, what's up, Weaves? Today's episode is brought to you by Condition One. While stationed in Africa, U.S. Marine Matt DeMaio faced his toughest challenge yet. And no, it wasn't a centipede demon monster, it was his diet. And like a lot of Marines like him, he wasn't eating real food on a daily basis. So as a result, guess what? He had constant fatigue and low energy. And what he really needed was a perfect performance bar. And I'm talking about chock full with the good stuff. Amino acids, complex carbs, healthy fats. All that to help him sustain energy and prevent muscle fatigue. And so much more. So Matt, you know what he did? He teamed up with a nutritionist. That's right. And Condition One was born. From soldiers to gym lovers to even demon slayers. Anybody with active lifestyles, Condition One can help you reach your fitness goals. And that's without eating those dry, chalky other protein bars. And the best thing, to honor his military roots, every Condition One purchase helps veteran nonprofits. Condition One is offering exclusively our Weebcast listeners 10% off their next online purchase. So when you need that extra strength to lift that Tasaiga sword, all you have to do is go over to gocondition1.com and use the code POD10 to get your protein bar today. Now enjoy the episode. Hey, yo, let's go. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Weebcast. I hope you guys are doing well. Welcome back. Another week, another episode from your boy C-Dub, aka Chris, aka the Independent Variable, aka Mori, aka Jim Mori, the boy, the god, coming back at you with some Yashihime. We're gonna be talking all Yashihime, because I got some thoughts about it. Can't say that they're all organized. When I was preparing this episode, I think I made a tweet about it on Twitter. And I'm pretty sure I posted one of the early promotional art of the with the characters, with the main characters and the main figures are going to be in this anime. And I think I posted the quick thoughts. I think I only made two tweets at most. Talking about how it has the Inuyasha feel and the look of it. I love how it looks like it's going to be animated. Really, it almost looks like just an updated version of Inuyasha. And I hope they keep that motif and I hope they keep that theme running throughout the show. But we're going to get into that a little bit. We're going to get to that later. What I think about it, what it looks like. Talk about the trailer. I'm going to have to actually, if you guys haven't seen the trailer, because I think by this time, if you're listening to this podcast, right when it drops on a Friday morning, Friday afternoon, really, at noon, around noon, then the Viz Media trailer is already about a week old. Because I believe it came out last Thursday. And I don't think I tweeted about it until that weekend. Or the beginning of that following week, around Monday or something like that. But if you want to hear some takes when I'm not off air and doing some other things, always you can follow me, hit me up on Twitter. At twitter.com/JXNMORI. And you can get all my spicy anime hot takes there. Before we get into all that though, I want to let you guys know how much I love you. Thank you for so much supporting the podcast, sharing it around. I like to thank the podcast network too, for supporting me, helping me out, helping me improve, giving me support. Much love to you guys, much love to the listeners as well. Keep listening. I hope you guys keep listening. Stay entertained. I got a lot more coming at you. Bigger things are on the horizon. I cannot wait. But whatever podcast platform you're listening to this you're listening to Weebcast, number one anime and manga show on the internet. Whatever platform you're using to listen to it right this second, make sure you guys hit that like, review it, rate it, subscribe it, leave me a message on whatever site you're using. I leave a review. I love reading those. I love seeing people rate it honestly. Hey, want to rate it 5 stars? I'm giving you a smooch. Rated 4 stars, still a smooch. 3 stars, you're getting the smooch. 2 stars, hell, hey, at least you rated it. I'm still getting you a smooch. 1 star, I'm kidding. You're gonna get a smooch too, because that means you're being honest. But just, I really do appreciate it. And also, supporting the listening to it, subscribing to it, sharing it. Love that support, hella hard. And if you want to do that extra mile, want to go that little extra mile right now, always consider going to anchor.fm/weebcast/support, I believe. If not, if I got that URL mixed up, it's in the description of this episode, and it's in the description of every episode, a link where you can actually donate directly to the show and help me improve the show, get better guests and get better equipment and make this show the very best it could possibly be. I mean, it's already the number one anime manga show around, but that's besides the point. We can always improve, you know what I mean? Always improve. You think LeBron in his prime thought he couldn't get better? Look. You could be number one. You could still get better, though, baby. You could still get better. But that'd be very much appreciated if you guys could offer any support as you can. Just keep sharing it and possibly even donate. Like I said, that link, if you want to donate to the show, it's real easy. You don't even need an Anchor account. All you got to do is just go to that link, follow the steps, and you'll be and you can drop me some coin. That'll be very much appreciated. And also, I forgot to tell you, anyone who does do that gets a shout out on the show and gets to pick the next topic of the next episode. So if that's any incentive, wink wink, nod nod, nudge nudge. Let me get into what I really want to talk about today. That's the Inuyasha spinoff anime, Yashihime, Princess Half Demon, in its first trailer that dropped, and revealed its cast, the characters, the voice actors for the three main characters. Excuse me. Getting ready for its October 3rd debut, which is coming up. Man, October is this year. As slow as it's been, it is moving. It is moving and I'm grooving. As I take an unprofessional sip of my coffee. Hope you guys get some coffee, though. What kind of coffee you guys like, though, by the way? You can hit me up on Twitter about that, too, man. I got me some Roy Rogers coffee, you know. Nothing spectacular, but, you know. It's not like Dunkin' Donuts coffee or like a Starbucks fancy brew. But, I mean, it's going to get me through. It's going to get me through today. It's going to get the job done. You know what it is. You know, I see they were up C-Dub roll. But, we got Viz Media unveiled the first full trailer of the new visual and a new visual and the three main cast members for the Yashihime Princess Half Demon or the Hanyo no Yashihime anime spinoff of Rumiko Takahashi's famous Inuyasha series last Thursday. The anime's official website, the Japanese version of the trailer, also revealed the anime's October 3rd premiere date on YTV, on YTV and NTV, who pretty much broadcast shows like, if I'm remembering correctly, I think they've done all the Blade series over there in Japan, the Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Destiny, the Detective Conan, Golden Kamuy, Gatchaman. They've been in production and broadcasted a long list of shows that you probably have seen or heard, or at least heard of. But I guess I want to get around to just the characters in the cast. And I kind of want to start with the one that's been in the forefront of a lot of the promotional materials, especially the picture I posted on Twitter. That new visual, the first new official visual, with our favorite new waifu. I'm sure she's going to be literally one of the most popular characters in this entire show, and that is Towa Higurashi, which is one of Sesshomaru's daughters and Setsuna's twin. And Towa is going to be voiced by Sara Matsumoto, if I got that right. She was the boy in episode 13 of Berserk. She's the Namida Tsubunemo in Boruto. I know she hasn't had any big roles. I think her biggest role might be the Boruto role. That or Hiro Kurusu from Sounds of Life, the Kono Oto Tomare Sounds of Life TV 1 and 2. That might be some of her biggest roles. But she's going to be voicing Towa Higurashi, one of Seth Shoshomaru's twin. You know, let me just do that. Yeah, I'll go through each of them, and as I introduce these characters, I'll talk a little bit about what their design is, because I brought them up. I have them pulled up for me in front of me right now. And Towa's the one with the white suit, brown shoes, looking real stylish. White hair with just a nice little fringe of red there. Looking real nice, looking real clean. Like I said, I think she's going to be the fan favorite of the show. Which is not really a hot take. I think a lot of people after seeing this is going to think that same thing, to be honest. Excuse me. So take another unprofessional sip. She seems very expressive, emotive. Seems very cocky. Seems very sure of herself. Definitely a little more talkative than what Shoshomaru really was. You know what I mean? And I like the sword. I like how she carries herself and carries her sword. She's definitely got some skill in it. Can't wait to see it in action. Right off the bat, I'm going to have to give her a design. A good, solid, maybe 6.5 out of 10. And you may say that, well, that doesn't seem all that great of a score. Well, I have to see it in action, and that trailer wasn't really enough. For me, at least, I'm going to have to see a little bit more. But for Towa, just off the look, just off some of the early visuals, it's going to have to be a 6 and a 5 out of 10. It looks good, though. I'm not saying, don't get it wrong, don't get it twisted. It looks pretty good. Now we should go on to her twin. That's Setsuna. Like I said, Shoshomaru's other daughter, twin to Towa. And Setsuna is going to be voiced by Mikako Komatsu, who's done a very pretty big list of non-anime roles. But has been not only, she's been part of staffs for several works like Nisekoi, Taboo Tattoo, the Welcome to the Ballroom theme song performance, a lot of endings and a lot of theme songs for some from animes that you probably heard of, the Senki Sensho Symphogear G insert song, the Don Chigai theme song performance. But also she's been casted as so many people. She's been in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal and the sequel of that, Kotore Mizuki. She was Rose in Tales of Zestria. She actually plays someone in Taboo Tattoo. I think Bluesy, I believe. I'm trying to think of some of her more famous roles, though. She did play Mammon in the Pokemon Mega Evolution Specials 1 through 4. She did play as Luspringa Beta in Overlord as well, in Overlord 1, 2, and 3. She played Tsugumi from Nisekoi, obviously. I know I'm forgetting some other roles of her. I know she's going to be Maki Zenin in Jujutsu no Kaisen, which is a manga you guys should be reading. Get prepared for that anime. I might have to do a centric episode just on Jujutsu no Kaisen, getting you guys ready for that anime. But she was in Gundam Billfires as well as Sei Iori, which was crazy. She was Ginger and Gangster. How could I forget? I think she played Taki Tsunazaki in Food Wars. Not really a big fan of that show, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. I know she played somebody in Blue Screen Ride. I think it was Shuko. Shuko. Might be, yeah. It is what it is. But like I said, she's an experienced. She's definitely had more roles than Sera Matsumoto, who's playing Towa. But Mikako Komatsu will be voicing Setsuna, and her design is very reminiscent of, you know, of kind of the Sango type. She has a nice, not a halberd, but very long staff, handle staff with a curved blade at the end. Might have to take a look at it if you guys haven't. Definitely seems the more serious type. I'm not saying Towa isn't serious, but I think out of the two twins, I think Towa's going to be one of the more of the lighter ones. Maybe we'll see how that see how their dynamic plays out, because like I said, the trailer was as good as it may have been. We didn't get to see a lot of how these characters are going to interact through the series, and I think Setsuna's design, her poise, some of the visual expressions that they give, three in particular, all look a little bit abrasive. Like, she can be a little bit abrasive, maybe takes things a little harder, maybe takes criticism a little harder. There was a lot of backlash at people who try to doubt her or anything like that. She actually carries another weapon, which I'm looking at to make sure. She has like a little short blade. Like, the blade is just a little bit longer than the actual hilt of the blade, so she's got like a little short blade there as well. But the interesting thing about her design, which is really cool, and it ties it back to Sesshomaru, is the fur, with the fur length or fur tail kind of looking thing that comes across her right shoulder and then kind of goes behind her and then kind of splits into two. Very reminiscent of Sesshomaru's own design, where he had it over the same shoulder as well, but it was a much bigger piece of fur than what Setsuna has. But But Towa still has, you know, as the twin, she still has things that ties her back to Sesshomaru as well. If I may go back to her just for a split second, Towa has the color design, has the color palette that's pretty much Sesshomaru. She has the white suit, blue trim, red little bolo tie kind of thing at the neck. The nice little red fringe sticking out from her usual white hair. So she hits all the colors of Sesshomaru's original design: the red, the blues, the pale whites, the brown there, and then Setsuna kind of has the fur thing going on. And it looks like she's gonna have a little bit more of Sesshomaru's attitude, but maybe of a younger Sesshomaru's attitude. It's gonna be interesting to see how that works out. But let's move on to the main star. Well, I mean, I guess I'm assuming she's gonna be the main character, you know, as I put that in quotations, and that's Azusa's Totokoro. I mean, Azusa Totokoro is gonna be voicing Motoha, the daughter of Inuyasha and Kagome, the two titular primary characters in Inuyasha, and their daughter Motoha is played by Taro Koro, who is she's been in quite a few roles as well. She voiced roles in Violet Evergarden, Tokyo ESP, that time I got reincarnated as a slime. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I've only written down a few, but I know she was in Divine Gate as a Bevedere, Big Order, the OVA and the TV, and in the anime as Io. Bang Dream, I think some of her most popular work were in Bang Dream as Kato Seta. And then Akatsu, because she voiced Ayo Kiriya in the Akatsuki series and in the movies as well. And just kind of think, I don't know, maybe if you guys haven't heard some of these, check out some of these animes, check out some of these voices, just to get a feel for what, so she's gonna have, just judging on some of her previous roles, and some of the other voice works, acting jobs she's done, I'm expecting a light, playful voice, one that's easy, that won't get annoying, but you know, at the same time can, you know, get on your nerves. Mordoha as a character, I feel like it's gonna be it's gonna have the playfulness, the trickstery type, snarky but very lighthearted parts of Inuyasha, but also have the, how should I say this, the Kagome sides are gonna come out through, at least attitude wise personality wise is that she always wants the upper hand, and she's very quick on her feet mentally, steadfast, headstrong. I think those traits are going to come through. We're going to shine through Mordoha from the Kagome side. But just move on to her just for design here. You know, as I'm looking at it again, it's very Inuyasha like with the red, with the two-tone reds. She has the kind of the torso, and then kind of connects down to a kind of shorts or a skirt of some kind with a bow kind of in the middle at her waist, and it comes down about halfway down her thigh, and that's kind of a nice pale red. And then she has like this overcoat, cape, cowl kind of thing that doesn't, I mean, that does go over her head, but kind of like a scarf cape kind of thing that's of a deeper red, and it looks kind of stitched like it was brought together by different fabric of the same color. And that kind of goes around her torso over top, and it kind of comes down just about behind her knees, down by her knees. And then like she has like foot guards or shin guards, but of cloth, and footless, which is obviously Inuyasha-ish, obviously. But she has the Kagome hair. I mean, undoubtedly. If you're looking at the picture with me, I suggest you, you know, while you're listening, that you just look through some of this, some of the art right now, or look through the trailer or something when you get the chance. But because she has the Kagome hair. Undoubtedly. But what's also interesting, she has two, you know, pieces, two red triangles like jutting from her top of her head. And I'm unsure as to if it's her actual, if she has like ears and they're just kind of being covered with this red cloth, or is it like a bow, just a headpiece. And that's just supposed to symbolize, and that, you know, she's the son of Inuyasha, she's the daughter of Inuyasha. But we'll see. But it does seem like she's going to be more like Inuyasha. Hey, yo, what's up? Continuing on with the Yashihime stuff for today. I went through a little bit of the characters just a few moments ago, and at least the three main ones. There's some other ones that I want to get to that weren't explicitly talked about too much. Haven't really been talked about all that much on some of the conversations I've had on forums and with other people recently, but I want to kind of get into how the story is going to be set up and how it's being explained. When I was kind of trying to translate and try to have other people translate some of the Japanese official website on the plot and how we're going to expect when this when the show really drops. But I should start off with Viz Media does have all the rights to the digital streaming, the ST, and the home video of this anime in North and Latin American countries. And I'm pretty sure, and when I was looking through the Viz sites and their public statements on it, they do say they describe it as a brand new anime from the Inuyasha universe. And they don't really say explicitly say it's a continuation. Obviously it is. And you're probably thinking, like, well, Chris, if it's set in the universe, it's most likely a continuation. Well, we don't know how much. We don't know what's... Because Takahashi has... Takahashi. That's the original art and story person on Inuyasha. Okay. Just being dumb, as usual. But Yeah, Takashi doesn't have actually any input on the story in Yashihime. I think he only has input on the character designs, I believe. But I know for a fact that he's not a part of the story. But I should read for you. I kind of talk about what they describe this anime going to be. I'm pretty sure I have it down somewhere here. Actually, yes, I do actually have. Viz Media explains this, and I quote, "The daughters of Sesshomaru and Yasha set out on a journey transcending time in feudal Japan. Half-demon twins Towa and Setsuna are separated from each other during a forest fire. While desperately searching for her younger sister, Towa wanders into a mysterious tunnel that sends her into present-day Japan, where she is found and raised by Kagome Higurashi's brother, Sota, and his family. 10 years later, the tunnel that connects two eras has reopened, allowing Towa to be reunited with Setsuna, who is now a demon slayer working for Kohaku. But to Towa's shock, Setsuna appears to have lost all memories of her older sister. Now joined by Moroha, the daughter of Inuyasha and Kagome, the three young women travel between the two eras on an adventure to regain their missing past." I should go on. So Teru Sato, who was the Inuyasha, he was the episode director for the Inuyasha anime, is actually directing this anime at Sunrise Studios, and Katsuki Sumisawa is in charge of the series scripts, which has done scripts for the original anime in Inuyasha and for Mobile Suit Gundam Wing. I didn't know that Sumisawa did the scripts for Gundam Wing, so I'm actually pleasantly surprised, to be honest. And Takahashi herself, you know, the writer and the artist for the original work in Yasho, is credited as the main character designer, with Yoshihito Hishimura, who also helped Takahashi with some of the designs in the original. Inuyasha is going to adapt some of the designs for this animation. And Yoshihito's done things like City Hunter, Shinjuku Private Eyes, and Yakitake Japan. And I thought we also have Koda Wada, who composed the music for the original series in Inuyasha, which anybody who's ever seen Inuyasha, which I'm pretty sure most of you guys have. One of the bright spots, one of many. Bryce Watson and Yasha was the music, and we're talking about the OSTs and the episodes. We're talking about the opening and endings. Kari Iwata to more or less slapped on all that. But they've also Kari Iwata also done Battle Angel music for Battle Angel, and also did music for the file of Young Kendaichi, one of my favorite and low key mystery kind of. Animes, and I think also did 3x3 Eyes as well, music as well, composed music for that. But like I said, you all guys know Takahashi launched the original manga, Weekly Shonen Sunday. She launched it in 1996, I believe, and it ended in 2008. Viz Media licensed and published all 56 volumes of the manga in America. And the 167 episode series based on the manga ran from 2000 to 2004. With a 26 episode sequel anime titled Inuyasha the Final Act, which ran from 2009 to 2010. And then it was three or four movies, and a 30 anime short. And then I think just recently, so in 2019, Viz Media has been releasing the anime on Blu-ray disc. So if you guys just want to pick that up and rewatch it, there you can. And just in general, I mean, anime and the Inuyasha anime inspired a smartphone game recently and a whole stage play. But I want to go back. Let's move back into how this describes this new anime. Let's start with the daughters. It's described with and I'll quote again: "Daughters of Sesshomaru and Inuyasha set out on a journey transcending time." And that's what it is. It's kind of like. And I know people may not like this this comparison, but I'm getting a feeling of like the sisters and the traveling, you know, the traveling pants. You guys read that book in school, where it was kind of like a coming of age story for like young women, and it was playful. Like people, I mean, that book was famous. Like everybody and their mama knew about that book, and everybody and their mama wanted the book. And I do kind of get that feeling with this in this, in just in an anime sense, I guess. And initially made me thinking like, well, that's, I don't know if that's a really fair comparison. That kind of seems a little kind of weird. Well, and I say that only because we haven't gotten a battle themed, which I don't even know how much battle themed we're going to get in the show, but we haven't really had like a battling themed anime with its three main leads be daughters of other, of, you know, of titular characters like this, you know? I'm trying to think of another anime of its kind recently. And I'm taking out like some of the magical girl animes like Magical Madoka, because those are obviously, they're magical girl animes, but they're also insanely dark, insanely depressing, with convoluted plots, which is not, also not a bad thing. You know, the plot does get a little convoluted, but it stays pretty true. Because it's not like that. You know, this anime doesn't seem like we're going to be getting any like Magical Madoka kind of anime or a magical girl type of anime where, you know, it can go insanely dark or just stay pretty light and fun. This seems like kind of a cooler alternative for me, actually. With Setsuna, Towa, and Motoha, Sesshomaru's twins, daughter twins, and then Inuyasha's daughter and Kagome's daughter, setting out going, and which I like to say, because it does say here that these three young women travel between the two eras on an adventure to regain their missing past. And I'm trying to, and it does say that 10 years pass. The tunnel that Towa wanders into, the tunnel that he wanders into, apparently, she wanders into, I keep calling her he for some reason, closes, and it doesn't reopen until for another 10 years. And I can't remember, you guys gonna, don't get mad at me, but I can't remember quite exactly how time flows in the feudal era Japan and present day Japan. I know it's not, I know it's not parallel, like time doesn't move at the same time, same speed, if I'm correct. So 10 years in present day Japan, Towa spent, could feel like, I'm trying to understand, because there's no ages on these characters that I've found officially. I will say Towa, though, does look significantly a little older than Setsuna and Motoha, though, and I'm just basing that on, like, kind of the height and just the character design. Motoha looks the youngest. Setsuna looks like to be in the middle, even though she's the twin, she's Towa's twin, so technically they should be the same age, but they just don't look the same age, and I wonder if that's because, you know, Towa spent 10 years in the present day Japan, separated from her sister, but Towa looks a little bit older than the other two, so I'm not sure, we'll see how that plays out. But it's interesting now, though, that on how this plot's going to move forward. Because it seems like the main plot line is between the Sesshomaru's two daughters. And you'll think back, you know, previously on this episode, I kind of talked about why, or not why, but why I said Motoha is, I thought, would be the main character of the series. And I kind of put it as a question when I was phrasing that, because I truly don't get that feeling. Because it does feel like that Setsuna and Towa, mainly Towa, are going to be the main focus. Which is definitely different and brave on Sato's part on directing this anime. Because I think people just assumed that, you know, that Kagome and Yasha's daughter would be the main character of the show, and frankly, I kind of did the same thing. So I'm interested in seeing what's Mordoha's part in the dynamic of this three. Is it going to feel like a really awkward, bad third wheel on all these adventures? Are we going to get, like, you know, an episode where Setsuna and Towa are, you know, they're still early on in there getting to know each other, almost like strangers? There's an enemy. But, you know, Setsuna and Towa and Mordoha try to take it out. The two twins can't work together all that well. They argue, they bicker, you know, something of that sort. And then Mordoha is just this can do nothing wrong, playfully just leaps, swipes, slashes this monster away like it's like cutting through butter. And then we just kind of get those type of adventures for the like first few episodes. You know, I don't want Mordoha to be like just the muscle of the three. The one who just cleans up after the twins. I just get that feeling because I'm not quite sure what's her place. Other than being the main character's daughter of the previous series, and being Inuyasha's daughter and being Kagome's daughter, I don't want her to have a dull role. And I think that she kind of will, and then they're going to try to make that up for it with her obnoxious kind of behavior, which I assume, I have a feeling Mordoha is going to be the obnoxious character that people are just the lovable, annoying person. But I think that I just have a bad feeling that they're going to play that up way too much just because they're focusing so much on the story between these twins, which is not a speculation. I mean, that's how Viz Media is propping this description as. The three young women travel between two eras on a venture to regain their missing past. What past is Mordoha missing? Is one of my questions. There's a lot of speculation on what, like, how much does Mordoha, I mean, does she live with Inuyasha and Kagome? Did they spend time in the, how much time did Mordoha spend in the human world, or, you know, in present day Japan, I mean, or in feudal day Japan? And how, what's that done? Where the hell is Kagome? You know, I'm sorry, you know. Look again at the promotional art that I posted on Twitter. Or pull up the picture for yourself. Go on the official website. Go on Twitter. You'll find the picture pretty easily. Just look up Yashahime. You don't see Kagome in that picture at all. Not at all. You don't see... And you see Inuyasha and Shishome in the back. And actually, Inuyasha's not even looking. We don't even see his face. We see the back of his head. At least we see Shishomu's small. We see him at least. We see his face. But we don't even see Kagome. And when does that end? And I have a bad feeling. Like, are we going to get like another dead mother thing? You know? Like, anime loves to kill off parents. Sometimes for the most ridiculous reasons. And sometimes for just no reason at all. I really hope that's not what we're getting with Kagome. Someone who's a titular character in Inuyasha, and then all of a sudden to just offer, and like I said, this is all speculation. I'm only going to based off what little official information we have from Viz Media and the official Japanese website of this of Yashahime. They don't talk about it at all, which makes me think that she's maybe not really dead, but maybe. Maybe has another. We'll have her plot line, and hopefully Mordoha's character development, her art, kind of weaves into the absence of Kagome. Because that'd be interesting. And what's Inuyasha's role been all this time? To be honest, how much are we gonna see Kagome? I mean, I'm not even quite sure we'll see Kagome at all. Just based on the official art, we may not see Kagome in this entire series. But how much are we going to see Inuyasha and Shishomaru? They're still alive, I think. At least they're shown in the promo art. Inuyasha's not even looking. We don't only see the back of his head. But I'm assuming that those two will be in the show. But at what capacity, though, is the question. Are we going to get just episodes of Inuyasha and Shishomaru maybe vaguely for a few moments being in the same place at the same time, talking, interacting, and their kids are just going on about you know, something, and we're just getting a bickering party, and and they're kind of just downplayed as, you know, old men or whatever, that, you know, let, you know, Towa and Setsuna and Mordoha's like, oh, we got this, you know, or they battle an enemy together and show up Shishomaru and Inuyasha or something like that. It's gonna be interesting because, like I said, Takahashi, she won't have any part in the story. So now, behind the scenes, is she maybe giving the thumbs up? You know, she's giving the good, she's giving the approval on some of the major story plot devices and how things are gonna be driven. Maybe. We don't know that for sure. And usually that kind of stuff is never really in public. Sometimes. It's very rarely where it's stated that an author and its spinoff series has approval. You know, mainly that's usually in the, you know, that's usually kept hidden. Like, no, I mean, I'm trying to think of one example, kind of with Kishimoto and Boruto. Kishimoto doesn't write the story. I mean, he helped the designs, but he doesn't draw it, and he doesn't really write the story. But he does, but he's involved in the process. He stated that, and Shonen Jump has stated it before. He's involved in the process, and he gives his approval for what goes on in the story, but he's not actively writing the story. So I'm wondering if we're going to get something like that with Takahashi. Or she's just, you know, kind of leaving it completely into other people's hands and just kind of letting this anime ride out, you know, which is going to be interesting to see. Because I want to see how Inuyasha and Sesshomaru is going to be portrayed. You know, what's their going to be role in their daughter's lives as they recover, you know, as quote unquote, regain their missing past, which is 10 years, which is long, but also not that long in anime terms, because... And another thing is with them bouncing, I guess they're going to be bouncing between the two eras a lot. And I feel like they're going to do this a lot more than they did in the original anime. In the original anime of 167 episodes, obviously we get to see what happens in the present day and the feudal day Japan. But we were pretty much focusing on feudal day Japan and how it influenced Kagome and things like, and we did also get very few episodes with Inuyasha in present day Japan, but the story still focused on feudal day Japan and Kagome's part in that, you know. So, but I just have a feeling, and just the way how this Viz Media sets up the story, how they describe the story, I think we're going to get a lot more of bouncing between the two worlds, because it's now open. All three of them, I presumably know about it. At least knows Setsuna. At least Towa, at the very least, knows about it. And so why wouldn't she tell Setsuna and Mordoha about this tunnel? Why wouldn't they discover? Why wouldn't they go over and maybe see what's going on? Because, I mean, look. So Towa, what? And, you know, looking at the description again. She spends 10 years being raised by Kagome's little brother, Sota. You remember the little brother in the original anime. Now he's has his, you know, I guess presumably has a wife, has his own kids, but takes in Towa anyway. Does Sota know that Towa is Sesshomaru's daughter? Does he know that she has a sister, a twin sister, over in feudal day Japan? Does Sato ever go over to the other side? Is he gonna in this new anime? I mean, and does Sato know where Kagome is? There's a lot of questions, and there's gonna be a lot of unanswered things going into these first few episodes, and only you, me, and everybody else are all gonna be just wanting answers really fast, real quick. And trust me, because I know that feeling. I know that feeling, and we're just gonna have to be patient, take deep breaths. Maybe let's just enjoy the show, and let the answers come to us at their own pace. And not try to get too excited, not too judgmental. We'll take it slow. C-Dub's gonna help you through it. And we're gonna get through this spinoff series on the other side in one piece. Alright? We're gonna get through it in one piece. But now, in that description, you've probably heard me say a few characters that I didn't talk about, because I only talked about the three main characters. With Setsuna, Towa, and Motoha, with Towa being really the main character. You know, more so even Motoha. And that's, I'm sorry, I know I wrote it down too. And that's Hisui and Kohaku. Hisui is Sango and Moroku's son. You can find this art as well. I might have to post some of these pictures on Twitter as references so you guys can look at them while you listen to the show. But Hisui is literally looks like a younger male version of Sango. Has the own boomerang, oversized boomerang, which may or may not be the same boomerang. It's not explicitly said, and I couldn't find any translations on the official pictures. But he's even got the same outfit, just a different color. It's actually like more of a teal diamond type of color instead of Sango's. I think it was like a salmon pink kind of color. And then Kohaku, which we don't know, which is looks like a totally original character. We don't know whether he has any relation to any of these characters bloodline wise or just relationship wise. But he's a demon slayer, and apparently he employs Hisui and Motora. Setsuna. I don't know if Motoha eventually works under Kohaku as well with Setsuna, or if Hisui does as well, which I have a feeling that's going to be like the first three episodes is where Kohaku and Setsuna meets up with Toya, learn about Setsuna's demon slaying job. And then slowly over the first few episodes, we get Motoha and Hisui kind of just being pulled into the adventure, pulled into that ride. And as Kohaku kind of just has to be the father of these women as they're doing their demon slaying things. Because Kohaku we don't get any explanation of who Kohaku really is other than that he runs a demon slaying kind of operation. And that Setsuna is helping him. We don't know his age. He does look fairly kind of young. And he doesn't... And I will say... though we don't get any information... And I don't want to... You know... Alright, look. No, this is weak, guys. We do some hot takes here. Look. I was looking at his weapons. I was looking at his design. I'm getting Koga vibes. Real hard. I'm getting Koga vibes. With the weapons... He carries like 3 or 4 weapons just on his promotional art alone. It looks like he has a big sickle type weapon. Looks like he has a chain and a blade. Like a large kunai with a chain on it. And then has like a kind of a short, kind of like a tanto blade. Well, not really, not short as a tanto blade, but kind of like almost not quite a samurai blade. But he has a sword at his side as well. So he's carrying at least at the minimum 3 different weapons. And he does kind of have Koga's hair, and kind of like the color designs that he has to him does give me some Koga vibes. But then again, I don't know. You know, we don't know. It's almost impossible to tell currently on what he's like and what relation he has to these characters or any other characters in Yasha. You know. We really don't know what his connection is. As I take another unprofessional drink of water here. Oh man, such a bad person, such a bad podcaster, bad host. But like I'm saying, this show is giving me so many different vibes. And as you can see the title, am I going to be watching Yashahime, the half demon princess? The answer, and the long-awaited answer is a sigh and a yes. Look, they suckered me into it. The trailer, the promotional art, it's standing true to the classic Inuyasha character design. Takahashi is killed it again, has really kept it to her, really stuck to her roots, stuck to her guns in creating these characters and making them feel like they're part of the Inuyasha universe without making them, you know, kind of like, that's one thing with Boruto, which I defend Boruto more than a lot of people online, all right? With my, a lot of my friends dislike Boruto, maybe some of them even hate it. But there's one thing they do bring up that I can't help but agree to sometimes, is some of the character designs don't even feel like Naruto, like it's in the same universe sometimes. But with this, it does feel like we're in the Inuyasha universe. And that's good. Like, that's really good. Because not only it creates a good feel and just a good atmosphere that we can, like, that we feel comfortable. Because with Boruto, which, like I said, I defend it a lot, I completely understand if they can't vibe with it when everything feels so different and it's not just a seamless transition into a spinoff series. This one actually seems pretty seamless, and it feels like it's going to pick up right up after that final act in that special that we got in 2009 to 2010. But I have some other thoughts that I wanted to add that I didn't know how to fit into this episode because they were just kind of loose, miscellaneous kind of thoughts. Same thing with Kaede. It's that, you know, the old woman that Kagome met really early on in the original series, knew about her being the descendant of Kikyo. I almost forgot her name. Well, she's alive. She's in the promotional. Kagome is not in there. But the old woman from the original series is there. And people were like, shouldn't she be dead? I was reading that a lot online. People were like, shouldn't she be dead? I thought she was already as old as dirt in the original. Yeah, she was not. She was in her late 50s, early 60s. All right. That's not terribly old. Okay. You know, not much time has passed. Now she's probably like in her 80s or 70s right now. All right. It's not unbelievable to have a 70 or 80 year old woman. All right. Now she looked old in the original series, believe me, but I don't think she was already in her 70s or 80s in the original anime. I'm pretty sure she was in her 50s, late 50s, early 60s. So forget all that. Shippo. We don't see Shippo in here, but we do see another animal who looks like a tanuki. And I'm not sure if whether it's a male or female or something somewhere in between. But I don't remember any tanukis being very any importance in the original anime. Like I said, it's been years since I watched the original anime. It's been years since I've even read the manga. But I don't remember any significant tanuki character. And I'm really interested in seeing if this tanuki character has any relationship to Shippo. Like, does Shippo have a girlfriend, a wife, a daughter, a son or something? But that just caught me a little bit. That was just another thing that caught my eye. That looks like Madara and the tanuki character are going to be kind of always butting heads and this tanuki just being the constant comical relief in this, going to be in the show. And the thing is, and another thought I saw a lot online is with the animation. The animation was kind of slow and jagged in the trailer, so we don't really get a true sense of what it's going to be like, how it's going to feel like in when these episodes start running. So it didn't really show off a lot, but the voices were really nice to hear, and I'm actually looking forward to how this is animated. But yeah, like I said, I already talked about Kagome not being in the visuals, but we don't also get Sango or Rin. And like I said, you probably heard me talk about I theorized that Kagome may be dead, or maybe she may be. Maybe something tragic's happened. She's maybe not dead, and that's why Inuyasha isn't around so much, because he's either trying to maybe save her, trying to find her, something like that, or they just can't, or something's happened between them, and they're just not together. But with Sango and Rin not being shown, makes me think that
Kagome really isn't dead, and they just didn't want to put her in the visual because that means there's some kind of plot line with Kagome, Sango, and Rin, the proposed mothers. I'll get to Rin in a second. But with Sango, it's interesting why they didn't just show Sango. They show his son. I don't know why there needs to be such a mystery on why Sango's not involved or not shown in the visual, which is really... I can understand maybe because Kagome was such a titular character. She was one of the main characters in the original series and all that. Want to throw some mystery in that, but why Sango, though? Just doesn't, I guess it's going to be some kind of important plot point, but, I just hope that all three of them aren't dead. I really don't hope any of the three are dead, Rin, Sango, or Kagome, but I just have a bad feeling. Just have a really bad feeling. Also, the English dub. I was thinking about how the English dub is going to be because the Inuyasha dub was spectacular. One of the favorable dubs by a lot of fans. And it's going to be interesting if Viz Media is going to be using Ocean Group again for the Ashihime, just for the consistency sake, since they use Ocean Group for the Inuyasha show, the original. Because Viz Media hasn't been using Vancouver for their dubs since 2012, 2013, after the final act, which is like what, 7 or 8 years now old, as more of the majority of the more recent anime titles they license are now dubbed in Los Angeles, through the Studio Polis, or especially Bang Zoom. And on top of that, the only things Vancouver has really done lately are Kiznaver and a bunch of kid shows. So it's pretty much possible the series might be dubbed in Los Angeles, given that the majority of the anime companies in Los Angeles area, like Viz, Crunchyroll, Netflix, Aniplex, are now having their licensed anime dubbed in LA after, you know, LA, either through Studio Pullers or Bang Zoom. So, because I bring that up because I think it's going to get a dub pretty quick. I don't think we'll be waiting too long to get a dubbed and get it on Adult Swim in, you know, just a few months after this anime appears on October 3rd. So, yeah, like it's gonna, I feel like it's gonna be it's a pretty solid cast so far, and I think the biggest question, at least for me going into this series, with the parents, and I mean that for all of them, Shoshomaru, Kagome, Inuyasha, Sango, Rin, and where Shippo's at, obviously, and I really hope Viz gets the old cast back. Yeah, the original art style, I love that. Sota. Should talk about Sota. Daddy Sota. Grew up to be a fucking Chad of a dad. Can't wait to see him, how he acts in the show. It's going to be really interesting. But like I said, it does seem like this is going to be following up right after the final act that we got about almost a decade left from now. But it really gives, but like the trailer, like I said, raises so many new questions on like what happened to the original cast for the exception of Sota and Kohaku, because all of what we see in the original cast is in the flashback with the root demon, although Kaede is still alive and all these years is quite amazing. But I think that's just because people were misunderstanding of how old she was in the original. Like I said, I really hope they bring the Ocean Group back to do this. But I think a lot of people, and I'm saying this right now, Toa's going to be a fan favorite. Toa's going to be one of the main waifus, whatever you want to call it. Going to be just one of the favorite characters in this show. And while Mordoha's going to be one of the more hated ones. Now, is she going to deserve it? I do speculate she's going to be the obnoxious, comical character that she is. But I have a feeling she's just going to be hated. She's not going to be liked by a lot of people who watch this. And I think Toa is going to be the fan one. And Setsuna is going to be the sleeper. I have a feeling I'm going to absolutely love her. Try to think if there's any other thoughts and things that I had written down that about this trailer and just things surrounding this spinoff. Yeah, I talked about how Mordoha is going to act like a douche. I'm trying to think. I don't know if... I felt like there was one thing that I was missing. I should probably add with the Rin thing. Because it's heavily theorized that Sesshomaru had these twins with Rin. And then this is brought up, which I've seen on YouTube, and I've seen a little bit on Twitter a lot, but more on YouTube, where they're bringing up this grooming thing. That Sesshomaru was grooming Rin over time to eventually mate and have kids with this person, have sex with this person, Rin. And if you don't remember Rin, when was the little girl that was picked up by Sesshomaru and Kagura, I think, and kind of just like, and that little flea that Sesshomaru's servant or whatever kind of kept her on and kind of raised her and all that stuff, and Rin grew really attached to Sesshomaru and things like that. And I saw a lot of things of grooming being put into play, and I just want to shut that down right now, because if anybody's ever look, I know it's been a while since probably a lot of you guys have read or watched Inuyasha, but I had to look into this a little deeper. Never once grooming gives the implication that you grow attached to someone who's underage, and you just kind of, and you're always with the intention of being sexual with them when they reach a point when they're not underage. Sesshomaru didn't find and keep Rin for some kind of mate. That wasn't the case. Sesshomaru never had and he was a demon. So it's always weird, because, you know, demons have a different and extended lifetime span. So it's a little different. Any demon-human relationship is going to be weird in any way. Look, just Kagome and Inuyasha, an example. You know? So he's a demon. So he's going to live a little, you know, longer. Look a little younger. And Kagome is a human. So that relationship is already kind of weird in that kind of sense. Any kind of demon-human relationship is going to be weird already off the jump, you know what I mean? But the thing is, with that thing is, like, Inuyasha kind of had the body and kind of the look of a 15-year-old, 16-year-old, kind of like Kagome, which kind of matched Kagome's kind of age. But with the grooming thing with Sesshomaru and Rin, Sesshomaru's intention when finding and getting and raising, kind of raising her or whatever kind of thing is, doesn't, and there was no hint that Sesshomaru had any sexual interest into her. When finding her and that thing. So there's really, you can't say it's grooming per se. Now is it weird? Oh, it's weird. Super weird. If it turns out that's the case. And this is all assuming that Rin is the mother of the twins, of Sesshomaru's twins, you know? That's just assuming that the case is. But I think saying grooming is a little too far when we don't even have all the facts. And even if it was Rin was the mother of these twins, to have to be groomed, it has to be some kind of intention on one side's part to keep them around it, with the intentions of mating with them. And I don't believe, and there was no hint to that in the manga or in the anime, that Sesshomaru, that's why Sesshomaru kept her around. So I just wanted to at least get that point out. What else? Oh, Kiara. Kiara was still around, which is amazing. You know, the fire, like the little fox animal kind of thing. So I hope Sango's still around, you know. But Naraku. Woo! I think Naraku's gonna take back the king, gonna take back the crown from Aizen as the anime troll king. I mean, look, Aizen is based off of, as much as I love Bleach and the people who fanboy off of Aizen all the time, look, y'all gotta realize who the OG. There would not be an Aizen if there was no Naraku. I'm just keeping it 100 with y'all. There would not be an Aizen without Naraku. Naraku's the OG of that character type, bro. But yeah, so we don't know who the mother of the twins are. We could talk about that for a whole nother hour about speculating who the mother of those twins and who mated with Sesshomaru. But everyone's kind of been pointing to Rin. I don't know why Kagura is not in the situation. I know that her. I don't want to give too many spoilers into Inuyasha if you haven't seen Inuyasha, but I know her fate. You probably know about her fate in the original series, but like, I'm not surprised her name hasn't been kind of been thrown around a lot, and that's, you know, and ties to Inuyasha into Kagura. But like I said, it's gonna be A lot of people's middle school and high school inner selves are going to be screaming for the show, to watch the show. And frankly, I'm going to have to be one of them, because I'm going to be interested in seeing how the show's going to go down, to be honest. I hope you guys watch it with me, because I'm definitely going to check it out. But the moment I feel like I don't get that Inuyasha feel, the moment it starts getting into something like Boruto Next Adventures, then I'm going to have to be checking myself out, if I'm being honest with you guys. Thank you for listening. Like I said, whatever podcast platform you guys are listening to this show and enjoy my Yashahime speculation and kind of preview and all that stuff, please make sure you guys subscribe it, like the podcast, rate the podcast, review the podcast, leave me some nice things to read and all that stuff. Make sure you guys spread this podcast around also, and consider being supporter of the WeCast show and donating a few. And however much money you think is feel possible, right? All you have to, you can find that link of, if you want to support with some cash. You can find that in the episode description of any episode, especially this episode, anchor.fm /sweepcast/support. And that'd be very much appreciated. Thank you so much for actually, you know, just listening to me. Hope you have, and just have a nice, like, chill, laid back, very loose discussion on just Yashahime. There's so much more we could have talked about, and so many more things, and we can always talk about that on Twitter. I'm probably going to be tweeting stuff out leading up to the October 3rd release date, and especially I'm going to be talking about it when the first episode drops and gives you some of my impressions when that episode drops. I'll definitely do that on an episode right when that drops. But it's going to be crazy when this show drops, man. It's going to be crazy. The shipping wars. God, the shipping wars. I didn't even get to the shipping wars. Y'all gonna be ready for that? Y'all gonna be ready for the shipping wars in this, man? Woo! Alright, I'm not gonna hold y'all for any longer. I hope you guys have a good, relevant day. Thank you for allowing my voice into your ears, into your homes. Hope you guys enjoyed the number one anime and manga show on the internet, WeCast, with your boy C-Dub, the host with the most, aka Mori, the independent variable. And thank you for Condition One for sponsoring this episode. Very much. Very appreciate it. I love every single one of you guys. Now enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the weekend. Stay healthy. Stay hydrated. Watch some anime. Read some manga. Be good. Because your boy C-Dub is out of 3000. I'm going to have to catch y'all next week.